You will. Right, folks, welcome to the Desert Island Dicks podcast. My name's Scuba. We've got Craig, your wee co-host. How are you doing, son?
I'm alright, like.
Your wee co-host.
Your wee co-host. You are about the same height, but sorry. We've also got Sean, our producer, Blue Pure Records, Sophie Events.
Yeah.
Nice one, man. Nice one. And we also got Ian from Kamehameha.
It's not Ian from Kamehameha.
Ian, he is.
High of Fife Minecraft, 33rd degree shaggy. Mongol monk, defender of the realm. Geometrics MC, an acute man one angle.
Fuck on.
High dread mink Kamehameha. You can call me Ian if you want, though. But I'm not Ian from Mike Kamehameha. That implies I came from myself.
Ian is the leader. The fucking leader.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got Shaggy in the corner as well from Sophie and Events. Yeah. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing very well, Steve.
Nice one, nice one. Well, we've basically fresh out the referendum. There's anger being passed. There's some people quite happy, not very fucking much, I'd imagine, hopefully.
But, well, there's at least, like, well, there's a majority of Scotland.
I personally think that's just lies, man. A majority of Scotland
got what they wanted. They're not necessarily happy.
I just don't like the whole thing. So what's everybody thinking so far about the referendum? What's everybody's thoughts, man? What about you, Shaggy, man? How are you feeling about it?
Well, to be honest, I think we got absolutely fucked there with it. I think it was absolutely rigged. The amount of propaganda and things that are going about on it, even for these riots that have been happening and that, it's all getting portrayed in one side and one aspect saying it's loyalist unionist, and another side it's saying it's the nationalist of Scotland. So it's completely who can get the message out to the most people on their side and try and convince as much people, and it's just it's a nasty game of politics. It's been going on for far, far too many hundreds of years, thousands of years, probably. Yeah, it's just. Yeah, it's about time we got free.
I was personally really, really fucking disappointed when I was watching the live stream. I think it was Sky News or someone I was watching. I think we started watching about 9 o'clock, like way too fucking early. I thought we turned on at 9 o'clock, right?
We started watching just as a poser with the shit.
Fucking pointless. Then I got to about 11, maybe 12 o'clock, and I decided I'm going to hate going to bed. I can't sit up all night watching repeated fucking 10-minute segments all night. That's pointless. So I went to sleep, and then I kept waking up during the results, and I woke up, there was at some point we were ahead. Is that right?
Well, I was up for the whole thing. We were very close at one point. We were at 49.5% of the vote at that period of time, but that was only at the hundreds of thousands stage when voting population of Scotland is 4.2.
Because I was sleeping and I kept hearing Scottish independence, and I was like, I kind of woke myself up sometimes, and I was like, oh, we've got it, fucking yes. And then I woke up at like 5 o'clock. I think it was just before Fife were about to put their votes out, and at that time it was pretty much going to be no at that point, and Fife couldn't have swung too much, and it would have been fucking, there was nothing that Fife could have done to put us back for that. So, but it was horrible just to be sleeping and getting woken up at night and thinking I was fucking going to win. Horrible. The disappointment I went through when I got
up.
Did
mum no wake you up?
Mum came through.
Oh, you lost?
Aye. Mum came through, just poked her head round the side and woke me up out of fucking deep sleep. She's like, you lost, by the way. You lost. Well, fucking cheers for that. Try to sleep, cunt. That's how I got woken up with fucking the beautiful news that we lost.
It's kind of like waking up on Christmas and finding a lumpy coal when you're still
Merry Yesmas. What were you
thinking, man? Finding a reptile has come and taken all your presents.
That's exactly what happened.
So what did I get, Scuba? Our climate is terrible for reptile people, so why do they want to keep Scotland?
That's pretty pointless, really, all the game.
It's inhospitable for most people in certain places, so why would reptiles want it?
I think it would be pretty pointless, to be fair. Definitely pointless, like.
Yeah,
definitely, man. Definitely.
Should have put that point over in the debate.
With the reptile.
That would have swung a lot of people. Like, they're like, why do we even want to keep this when reptile people can't live it?
The reptile people might have realised that as well and be like, ah, good point.
Definitely.
We're not better together. we're gonna go take over Africa. It's a lot hotter there. Live with our ancestors. Yeah. The Anunnaki. Yeah.
Well, that'd be a rat. They've already gone in there to take that, so they can go to where the Anunnaki lived. Keep up, lad.
Keep up your lizard stuff.
Of course, my mistake. That's so obvious.
People are idiots, man. People are idiots.
So, Craig, you had pretty strong feelings as well when you woke
up. I think it's all pretty much being covered. It's annoying, but they've made the decision, and I think it's not going to take long until they find out they've been lied to.
Mm.
Because within 24 hours...
No, even within
the
24
hours... The
powers
have already fucking backed down already. They're saying... They're even starting to say that Scottish people aren't going to get to vote on English affairs, which would be fine if they didn't get to vote on ours, but they fucking do.
Yeah.
So it's starting to become a wee bit unfair now. They're already starting to take powers away, as well as not giving us new ones. So I think it'll not be long until no voters start to regret what they've done.
Regret.
I managed to speak to one no voter that was saying, I went through and told them about what Miliband had said, and I think the boy was about partying all day, so he missed all the fucking news that day. And he said to me that there's still three other members of Parliament that are still to back that up.
There's still three that are up to poo as well, though.
Well, that's it. He's still hopeful that the changes could still come in.
It's not even policy yet, though, is it? It's not even been made a policy yet.
Oh, that's it. Fuck!
And then it's to get through MP voting, and then it's to get through the House of Lords.
Miliband,
William Hague was coming out saying it doesn't matter anything that David Cameron promises while he's up in Scotland, because it still has to go through us, and we're going to say no.
Aye, exactly. And the day after the referendum, all these MPs came out and saying we're going to vote against it. We didn't want that shit in here.
Yeah, there was loads of English people protesting against that as well. They were just unhappy that they were giving extra special powers to Scotland.
Special magic powers. Invisibility.
Yes.
if you vote no, then Scottish people will be able to fly. They will have X-ray vision.
That'd be helpful, man. Fucking
I literally think that Miliband couldn't have got that quick enough out. He probably woke up that morning and was on the phone to his PR people, can I please get some interview? I want to tell them that I'm no backing it now.
To be fair.
Would you not try and bluff him?
It was less than 24 hours after the results. He was just by the way.
To be fair on the plasticine cunt that he is, he was good at Wallace and Gromit. to be fair on him, is it not that he's just said that he won't agree to sign the whatever Cameron's claiming, he'll come up with his own by the election or something?
Because Cameron came out with his one saying I'll back up what we were talking about, getting devolution powers, and he came out and said I ain't backing that up. So he was basically the way it came across was basically him saying no.
They haven't put anything forward.
It looks hopeful, eh?
They've got these powers that they want to give us, but none of them could name any of the powers that they're planning on giving us.
Visibility.
Nothing's been written down, nothing's been planned, nothing's been talked about. They've just said a vague statement, and
everybody else. They're going to make us invisible to because nobody cares anymore, right?
It's summed up nicely by that Family Guy meme that was going about with it. You can have independence, or you can get the mystery box. I want the mystery box. It can be anything. Even independence. And you've got those nuclear weapons and billions and
deficit. And illegal wars and an unelected House of Lords. are pretty much just deciding things, as always. No changes there.
20 years of more Tories is a best case scenario.
That's worrying. That's the best case scenario.
Worst case scenario would be just Nick Clegg's face constantly. Constantly just Nick Clegg's face. At least you can make up fun insults about David Cameron being a moon face, or Ed Miliband looking like a plastic creation of himself. Nick Clegg, just Nick Clegg's fucking face.
That's a terrible face.
There's not even anything in particular you can insult him for. He's just Nick Clegg's face. What a cunt.
Did anybody see up to the lead up of the referendum? Has anybody ever come across a no voter with a proper good argument?
That's one thing
I've never come across.
Economic arguments.
To be fair,
these people have studied economics in London and shit, and they've came up with the same arguments that I've heard for fucking what I'd consider uninformed no voters.
Yeah.
They're just coming up with the same shit, and I'm like, you've got degrees in this shit. Come up with something better. You're coming up with something that's been argued against and debunked multiple fucking times. If you've not got anything better than that, then I don't see why there's anybody voting no at all.
Mm.
That's just a waste of a vote.
To be fair, I'm sure everybody's got their reasons for voting, though.
No, they've not.
But they're just fucking shit. No. I'm sure everybody's got their reasons, and I'm sure, like, a lot of people have thought about it long and hard and decided, no, I'm... whatever. But I genuinely think that the majority of the no voters were based on... Not like I don't want to like belittle them and say it was based on fear, but it kind of was.
It was
kind of like based on the unknown. Like I just kind of like things the way they are. Not perfect, yeah. But they might get worse. It's like they might get worse. There's no way to live your life, you know.
Or fly a line and say it will get worse. That we can't afford to live on our own. That the NHS is going to die under independent Scotland. It's just fucking rubbish.
If you consider that the majority of people don't want their own lives to be attacked or compromised in any way, so the majority of people that are voting no, it'll be because to protect what they've got just now. So like the amount of people that I saw saying they were voting no because they thought they were going to lose their job or because their boyfriend was going to lose their job or something. And then it's the cognitive dissonance that you would see that would form out of that. That in like it was one girl that I knew who was voting no because her boyfriend might lose his job. You saw this. You told him that he'd be replaced by a robot in 3 years.
Amazing.
I was talking to somebody last night who was talking to me about how the shipbuilding industry is going a lot more towards automation.
I assumed the same.
But it was then her views, like she'd held in quite highly in regard a lot of my sort of commentaries on politics or social issues and all this kind of thing, and then suddenly she's coming out with all this like anti-benefit stuff and all this kind of stuff, which she wasn't before. So like it's weird. It's like just this sort of fascist tiptoe that comes in round the back that goes, right, wait a minute, I need to in order for me to justify voting no to save my boyfriend's job. It's like that she's just sort of like joined a club and gotten all these other things that have crept in, and she can't see that why it's completely against how she used to be completely.
I know a whole bunch of people that have been on the dole. Like I was, like I still am fucking horrible. But there was a few people that I've met fucking a long time ago that were on the dole at the same time as me, and then they got a job and they've been totally against people on fucking benefits. And it's like, you're just fucking ruining your whole shit there, man. Stop being an idiot, you know what I mean?
But it's focal fight to defend the status quo because it keeps their own sense of life together. Like, I would compare it to sort of, if you put over to somebody, like, I'm just going to use it as an example, I'm not, if you say to somebody that eating meat is morally wrong, you will get people who will come back and just be like, no, fuck you. Not attacking the argument, but attacking you for suggesting that you don't eat bacon. Because, like, I accept that it's, like, you don't need to eat meat anymore. You know, we know enough about nutrition and all the rest of it, but I accept that I'm a fucking hypocrite. You know, other people won't. They'll argue against it to justify their own stance because they won't rationalise it and accept that they might be wrong and would have to change something. So it's exactly the same. Someone will fight to keep the status quo because that's exactly how their life is defined. And the little box that they live in and all the rest of it. And if they had to challenge that, then that would mean that they would have to completely reconstruct their view on the world. So in order for anybody to... If somebody isn't already of a rebellious mindset or whatever, or has sort of had a reason to be against Westminster or, you know, the union as it is, then they're going to want to keep it. Even if it's not in their own benefit, because it's society and society must be normal.
In the face of evidence as well, it wasn't even as if you had needed a personal experience. There was evidence there to suggest that Westminster wasn't the best option, but they just completely blanked it. They didn't even
One of the things that I was watching and found it quite interesting point that was made, that in the past few decades, and that a lot of people, our generation, the previous generation, through all the various administrations, have suffered a lot. And although at the start of this campaign, for the Yes campaign 2 years ago, it was a very strong SNP, it was a nationalist movement, what the snowball effect this has basically become is it's became a voice, a vehicle for basically every other person that's been able... In previous general elections, these disgruntled masses have been spread out over various parties, and everybody's maybe having a rebellious vote by voting for this party or voting for the Greens, or just going, right, I'll just vote for this person, this independent, he'll no get it, but it's just a rebellious vote or no voting at all. So the fact that it's just been a pure yes or no, and there's only been two camps, this has been able to unite a large proportion of people that have been separated out over many fields. And to go back on to what you were saying before there, Ian, about people attacking, the way I like to think it is, people have beliefs and opinions, and if you attack a person's belief, that is a serious, people take that very serious, and they're willing to fight, willing to die for it. But if we replace what we have as beliefs with opinions, opinions are more easy to change according to the facts that you presented. Now, all us here, it's we're all quite in one camp here with this kind of thing, and we all hold these values quite strong to our beliefs. But if we if we were to say get rid of their beliefs and just purely have what we believe, but have that as an opinion, then if someone was coming and present us with a fact, we'll be a lot more open to receive that information and change our own mindset, because it's not
prove our opinions rather than stonewalling them.
Absolutely.
It's a sign of a fairly strong mind if you can disconnect yourself from your personal involvement with something and contemplate over something completely outside of your own sort of construct of what's normal or what's acceptable or, you know, whatever. If you could sit down and argue for, if you could sit down and actually logically rationalise to yourself an argument for the Holocaust, for example, right? I'm not saying you should, or that it's justified or that, but if you can sit down and go, wait a minute, what if he was, if there was something to this, right? And if you can go through it and you can see their perspective and then go, well, no, actually, this is why it wouldn't be, you know? That's a strong mind, people lose their shit if you suggest that. How dare you even consider that, you know? Or when paedophile scandals and that are coming out, and if you can sit down and consider for a minute, right, wait a minute, what if there is actually nothing morally wrong with that? It's a horrible, horrible thing to have to contemplate, but it strengthens your argument against it in the end. Yeah. But, you know, to be able to go, well, no, actually, I've considered this, and this is why it is, instead of just someone goes, no, you didn't do that.
Yeah.
It's a controversial point, but as long as you don't actually, believe in it, then cool. Yeah, you know?
Just put your mind there. You didn't need to actually hold any belief in it. You just need to think about it.
That's it. And then people can learn without actually having to make mistakes, you know, because they've considered it in the first place. Those are extreme examples.
I've taken them extreme.
Holocaust and paedophiles. Yeah. Maybe start with just considering why you shouldn't run across the road without looking first. You know, it's a lot safer. You know, there's not going to be a lot of opinionated people turning up at your door.
Well, that's just not getting fucking politicians on this time, man. Well,
I just want to
get any paedophiles.
I just want to get
over the side.
This is Scuba's show. I just want to get in trouble.
We're talking aside, just to cover this point, right? We were talking about we tried to get in touch with somebody for the Green Party, and before doing that, I thought, we do fucking jokes about paedophiles. How the fuck are we going to get a politician to come in? And we just couldn't.
Yeah, because I might offend him, because he's probably a paedophile.
And the amount of lizard stuff that you come in with, they would have come down.
Well, that's relevant. I think we should get politicians involved in this, because then we're normal, ordinary people. Normal, ordinary.
Ian's ruined it now with the fucking paedophile.
I am a perfectly normal person. This is all belief systems, do people.
But then, get a politician mixed in with us, and then see how the lizards interact with humans, you know what I mean?
Definitely. We have to. Has anybody seen that video of Louis C.K. trying to ask a coming up politician he was talking to? But he was actually trying to ask him, just straight up, are you a lizard?
And
the guy came up. Donald Rumsfeld.
Louis C.K.
Donald Rumsfeld.
It might have been he was in Opie and Anthony, I think.
Yeah. And he wouldn't give him an answer.
And he's like, this is why we fucking think you're a lizard. You're just not giving us an answer, man. Just answer
us. But why would he answer that? And he's like, now I just think that he's a lizard that's fad lion or something like that.
Another positive we need to take away for this as well, the amount of people that actually went out and voted There's a lot of people that. Well, that's the first time I've voted. I'll quite openly admit that. What about you?
So, it was first time. First time I voted, but for a reason. Like, I just didn't ever feel like any of the politicians deserve a vote, and I literally do not feel like any of them will help me and change my life. So I like to think that I'm kind of in control of my life, and that politics will trickle down, and fair enough, it will affect you in different ways. But you're ultimately in control with the way your life's affected by that. So I never vote because I'm like, well, you can either vote for that cunt or that arsehole. And I go, well, there's no point in putting your name to that paper, because imagine this, it's Germany, it's fucking 1932 he got elected Hitler or something like that, 33, and you've got a choice between Adolf Hitler and some other guy, right? And you're like, oh well, okay, that Hitler guy seems pretty good, and you vote for him, and then all that shit happens, and you're like, I voted for that. My name's on a list somewhere saying, like, Sean Evans adheres to these fucking...
You're in some sort of pie chart somewhere.
Like, you're saying that I was bad, but you voted for Hitler.
Exactly. I voted for that. Like, I can't believe that. So I didn't feel safe enough with these politicians, thinking that, you know, I might vote for that in a few years' time, it might be genocide on my hands. Like, so I didn't bother. But this time it was important enough, and I think a lot of people realised that in Scotland, they were just like, no, this is too important. This is like... This is my livelihood, totally affected. It's nothing to do with the politicians individually. It's about politics as a whole, and that's why I voted. I voted yes based on the information that I was given, and that's fair enough. I might have voted no if I was given different information. Given the information. No, I think it's very good that everybody's got involved this time, because now there's like so many millions of youths that are like active in politics now. They're like, oh my god, I didn't realise this is so like exciting. And
for now, though, Jacob will last, though.
Notice that a lot of the yes voters, because they think the thing was rigged, and they've got this wee, the conspiracy theories going about that. You've seen the videos and stuff like that.
Yeah, the videos are dodgy, though. I'm not saying that woman was totally against the fucking yes agenda or whatever, right? But she obviously didn't think what the fuck she was doing.
At very best,
she's like some kind of retard, right? You know what I mean? Like, needs help. Like,
it was 6 seconds of video, and she made about 8 mistakes.
We didn't say in the car, though, that we were talking when we first put it on, that this is just a bunch of folks sitting in a big fucking hall counting bits of paper. Like, this is a big, huge democratic decision.
It's 2014,
and it's a bunch of folks
system,
counting
you
know fucking
mean?
Bits of paper. Yeah, there has to be a better system for something as important.
Some computers could have been
involved. Press the red button.
Then, it's usually just 40-year-old mums that are fucking sitting doing it. Right. It's just really horrible just to watch.
But then I thought, what's the better system?
Wait. You want
nice-looking fucking people.
20-year-old ladies with big boobs, you know.
That's
the problem these days. You just kind of wank when you're watching the politics shows.
If you think about it, that fucking programme was on for about 9 or 10 hours.
You need to wank in
that. One opportunity.
Just one bikini. That's all I'm asking. All the way through. One.
Even just a nip slip.
Just a wee nip slip. That 40-year-old woman with the fucking short hair, if she was fucking up the votes, I would allow that to happen.
Just see the patronising BT lady walking past them in a bikini.
Hi, all the kids are on the
eating cereal.
it's an extension on that with the whole voting thing and getting kids into it and that, right? It's one thing that I've observed with speaking to like young kids, like primary school age, that any of the kids that have got parents that were like yes voters, they were very well informed. They knew what the referendum was for. They knew potential implications of it. They knew like they would be able to rattle off facts and figures, all the rest of it, because their parents had clearly cared enough about it and cared enough about their kids and whatnot to actually educate them and to tell them what was happening, because they appreciated how big an impact it was going to have. Any that I spoke to who were no voters, like the parents, the children didn't even know what the question was. They just knew my parents are voting no. So when you think about it, right, it's mostly that like the over 65s and stuff that fucked it for us. But it was like, was it not some like the 16 to 17 year old vote?
They were majority, yes,
74% vote or something, yeah? So basically, if you think about it, right, give it a few years, like for. Like some old people, they'll be gone.
The thing is, it's going to take 40 years minimum to have a new referendum. That's why the previous referendum was held in 90s.
How long a minimum did you say there?
40 years.
40 years. That's why the last referendum was in 1970, and it's just been 40 years. And that's going to be
years is when the oil's run out.
Yeah,
because they're going to be like, oh, we've got no oil, we can't fucking go independent.
But then we're going to have to develop the renewable infrastructure to a point where it's going to be some period.
I'm not finished. No, at that 40 years, right? The no voting parents who voted to keep their job that they've now lost by that time, they've
been replaced by robots.
They've been replaced by robots. They've not got their pension that they were worried about because retirement's been outlawed anyway. They're paying for their healthcare and all the rest of it, and they are fucked. And you think their other children are actually going to be helping them? No, because they're going to be stuck in the same fucking cycle trying to sustain this little box that they've got. The yes voting children will be like, well, you brought me up properly, and they'll be there waiting to help. Like, yous actually helped us out. Yous informed us. We grew up to try and do some yes vote goes through in 40 years' time. Mm. They'll be fighting for, like, to keep us old cunts alive, you know?
Do you think they'll actually give us an air referendum, though? Because they need to allow us to have an air one.
Yeah.
It's annoying that we have to be allowed to do
it. That's what I mean. We've got so little power that we need to be asked to get to get mere power.
Would you like an independent referendum?
Would you like some power?
No, it's fucking horrible.
Yes, please. Or
serves
no.
In a wee
no
bowl
facts.
For you, man.
It was a no thanks thing, man.
It was so smug.
It was so fucking smug.
No thanks. Fuck off.
And it was marked for the gyro babies put up a thing. He's like, how weak is the no thanks thing? Like, it's not a line of ketamine at a festival. It's the future of a country.
Yeah, no thanks.
Just, you keep doing that if you want, man. No thanks.
it felt so fucking smug, man. Especially when it was rich people that were doing it. Because their life was fucking sorted anyway. They had nothing to fear of anything. They've got money to pay for when the NHS is fucked.
Yeah.
They've got money to pay for when all these fucking jobs are lost and all this fucking shit happens. And they've just left.
They put their kids through college and then the poor have to.
Then they move fucking abroad. They move out this shithole and leave.
Or
they're
going to stay abroad for 9 months of the year and then they're paying any tax or like any other number of corporations and things like that. I guess tax avoidance is okay, but when you evade it, then that's a legal felony.
Pisses me. I hate people. People have pissed me so fucking off.
I like people. I just like reptile.
That's
people.
How pissed off I am. Lay the lizards as well. Fuck them.
All the lizards.
But when you look over history, I remember watching one episode of QI and it was Stephen Fry and it was going on about the amount of items. He had a list of everything that's been invented by the Scottish. This thing is immense. It's some of the best revolutions. Steam engine, penicillin,
telephone,
light bulb. There's that many things that we as a nation are very well.
Was the TV located
in
the Scottish as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but we can be forgiven for that one.
The worst invention of Scots.
There's loads, man. There's a lot like Adam Smith and that and all the... But, you know, like social movements and stuff.
Hume like and we've got some
bum. We're clever people, man. We're a high class of intellectuals. We definitely are, and that's why I didn't understand why nobody had faith. And I don't understand why 55% of Scottish people didn't have faith.
Oh, because they all got put in a paper shredder.
What's that?
No, the votes got put in a paper shredder. When you've seen them cutting the boxes of the box of ballots, they came out bundled and wrapped. They didn't come out all loose as you would expect when everybody's individually putting in their own vote. They were coming out. There were things where you've seen guys slightly putting marks on the ballot papers.
There's a lot of videos. Just make you ask questions. It's like that one with the women, and she's like, she puts a vote on the no pile, and then she picks it back up and looks at it. Then she picks up the whole yes pile and puts it on the no pile, and then puts the one vote back on the yes pile. I'm like, right, fair enough. Maybe she wasn't even vindictive. Maybe she was like just didn't really care what she think. But she was making a massive mistake.
But at what point was this? The counting. If that was at the end and she's just knackered because she's been doing this for fucking 5 hours, if it's at the beginning, then recount her fucking pile because she's fucked up.
Somebody needs to find out where she worked and count the votes for where that team worked. I know it's not possible, but recount her work, and if there's any differences in that, then do the whole fucking thing again because she was just totally
and slapper. And slapper.
Slap.
Because you slap the pure old slap. Violence, I don't condone it except when people miscount votes. Because that's ridiculous.
There's meant to be a better system than just giving a bunch of bits of paper to people.
Somebody say internet voting, but when you can hack into the system, then you can change all the shit.
Getting it internationally, looked over.
Or even like wee buttons. Just go in and press a button. Yeah, I wouldn't have worked.
I think they need to, like, re. I mean,
if it's
right,
electronic, if something goes. If a fucking generator goes down and it all fucks up, then.
It's so annoying. There's going to be a better fucking.
I mean, I'm not going to call for, like, a recount because I think whatever it's done, right? I don't care. But. In the future, for any kind of vote, we need some better system. It's like, it's really archaic.
It's just a bunch of people sitting in a hall.
What about like, thumbprint fucking identification and then two buttons that you just go, that one or that one? I mean, like, an actual computer where you just, like, it tells you who you are, it comes up and says, oh, this is Sean Evans. I'm like, cool. And then it's like, what do you want to vote for? Shit fucking sandwich or giant douche? And I'm like, oh, giant douche sounds good.
But then the Illuminati will have our fingerprints and their voting preferences and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but sure, and
they'll tie it to your Facebook pages, and then we're fucked.
They've got your life covered.
Part of Skynet, like.
God.
Yeah,
true. It does make me wonder, like, whether, like, obviously voter apathy was up and whatnot, and if that kept going at that rate, democracy could have crumbled, right? And that people could have realised, wait a minute, democracy isn't serving us. It's not working properly. I'm wondering, like, again, it's just a sort of look and try and consider everything. But was this whole process just a thing to get people back onto it again?
I think there's something in that.
Because if you think of the whole sort of, like, if nobody voted, then the system would be illegitimate and you wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't work thing. Then you look at this and where it's just a yes or no question. It's not buying into any person. It's into something that, especially being Scotland, there's sort of apparent Scottish pride and, like, to put in the sort of cliche, the whole Braveheart thing and all the rest of it. Folk have got that, like, they've got that in them. You know, they've got the picture of what being Scottish apparently is in them. And you see that with the arguments that folk are making, like, and on either side going, oh, I'm just as patriotic as you, I love all these things. Shut the fuck up. And, I just wonder whether it is a case that we've now all, like, I got a polling card through and I've never even registered to vote. You know,
We never registered to vote. We've been there, so it's coming out saying,
oh, this insanely high number of people has registered to vote. Nah, I didn't register to vote. I went and voted, but I didn't register to vote. I didn't, because I'd gone and got forms to register that, and I forgot to send them away. I had to go and get my polling card for my Moz and then go and vote in Kirkcaldy because I'd forgotten to send the fucking things in. But it does just make me wonder about that, like, about whether it is just a case that people are, like, because people from all over the world will be watching this, and it'll be like, wow, look at this, is it a democratic decision that's actually going to do something, and, like, the folk would get together, and they would be like, in this case, democracy could actually serve us in this way, you know?
Yeah, that's what I've always...
It could do some better for the country, rather than it being a useless choice between puppet on the left or puppet on the right, you know? And,
That's why I thought it was so important, because we could actually get away... hopefully we could get away from that system that's totally broken, because it is just literally... There's a House of Lords, they just decide stuff.
I don't even understand why that's still gone.
Well, they're just like... They're all the rich people that are, like, owning land and stuff, and so they invite you to this, like, place to make decisions, and then... We elect a representative of them. Like, that's the Prime Minister, and he decides stuff. Right then, eh? I mean,
I didn't understand why the House of Lords is.
There's a House of Commons as well.
The House of Commons is MPs, though, isn't it?
No, but you could go to the House. We could go to the House of Commons and stuff, could we not?
You can go anywhere you like.
House of Lords is on the red chairs, and the House of Commons is on the green chairs.
Yeah.
And then you get Westminster, and you've got all the various devolutionised parties, Holyrood and Wales and Northern Ireland. At certain levels that affect minor decisions based to statutes that would be decided at a House of Commons meeting. At the level of the House of Lords, the red seat people, that they make the overall decisions upon the laws that govern the statutes, and where a statute or a regulation will be a sub-clause, basically an overarching law that's decided at Lords, the Commons level affects minor stipulations, the terms and conditions, basically the overarching policy. So, and the thing thing is that the House of Lords, as you were saying there, at that level, these people are not voted in. These are Lords of the Lands that have gone back thousands of years, back to the time, basically, William Wallace and things, where they're actually gained a birthright, and they said, right, you're going to be able to serve us well, you're going to be able to command these people, make them work, make them toil the fields, and you'll collect the taxes, and you'll pay us a proportion, and we'll make sure you and your family, and your families, and your families, and your sons, and your sons, and the sons of the sons, will always be looked after, and they've inherited this God-given right, essentially, because the king or the queen has been acting on the capacity of God on earth, which is a complete fallacy in the mindset of the nation. To go back to what you were saying earlier, Ronnie, and then Sean, about democracy being a failed system, it is, and to use an analogy to describe that if politics and everything was quantified as a voyage, and an unknown voyage into the sea, and democracy is a vehicle that takes us there, that vehicle would be a ship on the sea. And if we were attacked in various terrorist attacks, or things like revolution coming about, or yes, movements, and all these things are basically other ships piercing holes in the hull of our ship. And if we're at sea, we can make some minor repairs to the ship, which is democracy, but we won't be able to affect the overall integrity while we're at sea. In order to fix the problem of democracy, what we need to do is stop the boat, take it into harbour, put it in a dry dock, take it off at the moment, and come outside the ship, come outside the box. And I mean, we're just trying to think of ways to improve democracy. We're not thinking of a new way to change how politics and to the fundamental level is run. It was just basically, we're basically being the House of Commons to the House of Lords. We're just trying to affect these statutes and things. Yeah. We need to have a whole a revolution, essentially, to change.
We're trying to skim the surface of the whole deep waters, basically.
Yeah, we've got a lot of pirates on board now. I think it was a study came out for, I think it was for Harvard, where they said that America isn't a democracy anymore; it's an oligarchy, because the corporations have more influence on policy than the people do.
Yeah.
So the people are voting in the representative to, like, decide what things are done, but it's not the votes that they're not voting on what the policies are. They're voting on who gets to decide the policies, and they're deciding the policies based on who's funding their campaign.
Yeah,
pretty much.
So you look at it and you think, right, well, is it fair and is it equal? When you look at people on the streets and you say, well, it looks like the your politicians have defended your right to give unlimited amounts of money to politicians to bring about change. Brilliant. On you go. Which is
rubbish. That's democracy, man.
Yeah.
You feel the wet slap of democracy on your face when you wake up in the morning and it's no on the telly.
Well, as you were explaining there, you were explaining the system, the way it works. How would that have changed if it was to just change, just simply be Holyrood?
Example happened, if we did vote yes, we wouldn't have what I would like to call as true independence, because most likely we would still use the pound. There was a big movement on the yes campaign to still use the pound, which would then in turn still make us subject to the central banks and the Rothschild family and everything else that goes along with us.
Still fiat currency.
Fighting tooth and nail to see how we'd rejoin UN, how we'd get involved in NATO. I mean, these are the things that are holding us back, the fractional reserve banking systems. We need, because Scotland essentially would be exporting a lot more than it imports, and it would have a positive currency rather than a negative. And we can go the way like Libya or Iraq or Afghanistan, and we can actually say, no, fuck you centralised banks, we're going to sell our oil in euros instead of your petrol dollar, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we'll tip you.
That's why people are scared of going to independent, because then they're scared that America's going to come and rape us for a royal. Which is pretty much what you described.
There was somebody raised the point, if Scottish got independence, they're going to be spending a lot less on kind of the arms, the army and stuff like that.
Well, see,
and but there was people talking about, we should just, for England, just go up and nick the royal.
Oh, right, like, just march up.
Get them their independence, but steal it off them.
Like, some of the safest countries in the world are countries that don't have like a large military presence. Mm-hmm. Like New Zealand, I'm pretty sure have a very like minuscule, if not any, like military presence. They've got police and stuff, and like a civil sort of presence of like civil authority and that. But they've not got a military presence in the world, and they're one of the safest countries. And then somebody, I told this to somebody, and they argued, "Yeah, well, New Zealand's like in the middle of nowhere. It's got like no countries around it." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, like all the countries that are surrounding Scotland are so fucking like volatile. You know what I mean? Like." Wow, like I can't wait to hear what the fucking North Sea's got to say about it. Like,
it's worth considering like what a heavy military presence and whatnot, the effect that has on people anyway. Like if you consider like school shootings and shit in the States, like they're looking and they're seeing their the people who are apparently in authority over them going out and shooting and killing people in order to get what they want. So of course they're going to imitate that. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was a fucking 12-year-old in the States as well, I'd probably have a gun, you know, like, because that's what they see their superiors doing.
Yeah,
and it's because people like it's taking it back to the sort of like the law side of things, the legislation and that. Right, this is just tying it back. It's a bit of a tangent for what we're saying, but a big part of what a lot of the sort of what's the word I'm looking for? The way it was put over wrong, for lack of a better phrase on the spot. The way that things were put over with regards to the currency and all the rest of it. A lot of things were, it was mispresented, and economists and whatnot would talk about what would happen in a sovereign Scotland as opposed to an independent Scotland. Mm. Now, obviously, a sovereign Scotland would mean completely politically autonomous and all the rest of it. And it comes down to people... people giving up their own responsibility. And going back to the whole statutes and acts and all the rest of it, there is no law on earth that says that any of us as human beings are tied to any of that. And when it comes to age restrictions on things, or like having to have a fucking driver's license or TV license or any of this noise, like it goes completely against your human rights that you should be able to use your own property without having to have permission from someone else to do it. Mm. You know, and I think this is a big part of the problem, is that people are looking at this the system that's there, like as Shaggy's saying, like it's in place, it's what people think's normal. They look at it and they think, all right, well that's this is the way that it is. That's fine. When everybody's sovereign in their own right when they're born, is just by going through having a number attached to you to be part of that system in the first place, and you consent to it, and that if people actually were responsible for themselves, like the whole independence thing, it shouldn't be about whether or not a country should be independent. It should come down to whether people should be allowed to be independent. Mm. You know, whether people should actually be responsible enough to govern their own lives. Like if we were responsible for cleaning our own water, we wouldn't piss and shit in it. If we had to make our own furniture, we wouldn't throw it out when we changed the decor. You know, like. If you actually strip it back and put the power back into people's hands on these things, and don't go into the sort of the abstractions of what people consider normal, which, and then we look at the abstractions that get added onto law and statutes and acts and whatnot, it's just, instead of just going, nah, you, be responsible for you. Like, everybody be responsible for you. And don't be a dick. You know, like, don't be a dick. And if they don't see other people being a dick, they will need to be a dick themselves.
yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much, like, I reckon everybody'd be alright.
I think so,
yeah. If everybody looks after their own shit.
And then if it was chaos, at least chaos is fair.
Yeah, it's your own chaos. You have to look after it.
Exactly. Like,
no, I agree. Like,
if you realised that you had to defend yourself, then perhaps you wouldn't be so lackadaisical in keeping your body fit. If you realised that you were going to have to fucking outrun somebody, then you would probably go out jogging every so often.
It's like how everybody is getting all worked up.
In case nobody's seen that, Monk was kind of going,
Mike has got eaten. Fuck it.
But it's true, it's like how everybody's getting so worked up about this decision and how it's not went their way, and it's like, oh no, our lives and that are at stake. And yeah, fair enough, it will affect your life, but you're in control with that life that you have, and you can affect it in many other ways that will improve it. And so you don't need to wait on the politicians coming in for the heavens with their wee wings and, I'm going to save you, David Cameron picking you to your deathbed and being like, don't worry, I've got the NHS. It's like, just fucking
You've earned your right in Valhalla, boy.
Oh my god. David Cameron lifting you to Valhalla, like, fucking, that's some kind of nightmare, man.
It is the only good argument, I think, for private healthcare and that, or selling off the NHS, is that in the UK, people get drunk and fight each other and don't give a fucking shit because they get
self-made harms. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it should be your responsibility. If you went and got pissed and you had to fucking get your stomach pumped, then it should be your responsibility to cover that. But if you died or you were suffering something out with your control, then you shouldn't be forced to or turned away from hospital because you can afford that.
No, I think everybody should be looked after. Regardless of our situation, it's like we're humans, and in this day and age, we should be able to look after each other's lives and that, instead of paying to blow each other apart in all the different parts of the world. It's like surely a wee bit of, like, what healthcare? I can understand that it's expensive and that it's all chemicals and like pharmaceuticals and fancy machines.
Ah, a big farmer's got to make his profit.
The big machine that goes boop and all that shit. Anyway, but like no, but I get that, but like surely that would be like important enough that everybody could cover that cost. Like, oh, let's just look after the people who are ill and the people who are weak and you know, like, surely.
You can certainly judge a society by how well it looks after its worst off.
I was going to say about the US, like, people still die in the US because they can't afford to get healthcare.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. That should be the first thing that's paid for. But instead of bombing brown people, it should be making sure everybody else is fine. And then maybe if you feel you need to steal some oil, then maybe you could put some money into that. But get healthcare done first.
Make sure everybody's healthy before you.
Make sure everybody else is healthy before you kill all the else.
Aye.
Like,
aye.
Look after. Yeah. Like, but I mean, obviously that's a joke.
But then you kill everybody.
Surely healthcare should be thought about before anything else.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't provide life for your citizens, then you fucked it. You've totally fucked it. Get the fuck. It's my fault.
Well, something that I've just came across in the last couple of days that's really been worrying me, and actually I'm quite glad I've got a chance to put it across, is open question to the group here. What is the birth rate in this country?
The birth rate? It happens when I least expect it.
Well,
the answer you've been told in primary school is 2.4. 2.4 is the general thing. You've heard that there's show 2.4 kids and that.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Right.
Now think around your friends, family that have kids. Mm-hmm. How many of them have three or more kids?
How many of them have got 40% of a child?
But the thing is, most people have either one or two kids, right? Yeah. And you can count the amount of people that you know with one or two kids in abundance. But try and think of the amount of people who have over three kids that are, and the need for this is basically if a man and a woman come together and they make one or two children, they're not increasing the population. By average, they will only be decreasing it. Mm. Now, if people have over three kids, which they've done in the past, or which we were told, it'd be at 2.4, then population will expand. But right now, in the UK, the birth rate is 1.8. In other countries, 1.6. 1.4 in some countries in Western Europe. Now, what that essentially means, within a generation or two, we are going to be at a point where we don't have the resources, the natural resources, people to run the country. Why immigration has been made such a big thing and try an exodus of the people, because we can't go over all the lands and everything, consuming every natural resource in sight. There's been a social engineering move at a mass scale, your Illuminati's, your Bilderbergers, or whatever you have. Is there solution to decreasing the excess population, however 7 billion or whatever it is at the moment, is didn't go and just kill everybody. We'll make it so tough or so financially hard for people to be able to raise more than two kids that if they only have one or two kids, then the population is going to go down and nobody's going to be an uproar about them slaughtering half a country.
Is that such a bad thing? And plus, actually, what you're saying about, like, maybe it's somebody engineering this, right? Maybe it is just a product of its own,
environment.
Environment, aye. Like, well, there is too many people and there is no enough to go around. But it's just not true. There is enough food to feed everybody in the world. It's just, and then I agree, I do agree.
Within the current system and within the within allowing sort of endless growth.
Needs
to go down.
Entropy, man. It's like he's just fucking. Yeah. Well, the thing is though, like supermarkets, they throw out all the waste food because if they didn't throw it out, it would cheapen the price of the food that they sell. Mm. So they have to throw it out for profit and that, and it just is ridiculous. It's like. It's so ridiculous, but that's the kind of world we live in. And actually, maybe we could deal with a lot less cunts. I mean, like, so I kind of like the fact that everything's going down in a very amicable. Nobody's getting shot because they're having too many babies, kind of way. Like, so yeah, like
China situation,
the China situation. no, I like that. Like, so the population is on the decrease. Fuck, aye.
But what it does mean though is it means that rational people and people who are like of intelligence and sort of in a position that they might actually be able to raise children that aren't little shits. They are sort of holding off having children and sort of not planning it and whatnot because they're worried that they wouldn't be able to bring them in, or they're worried about the world that they're going to bring them into. Meanwhile, we're off drinking and shagging, and it's, or you know, the working classes and whatnot are off, or like those that are in a position that they're essentially, drinking and shagging. And you know, they're not thinking about having children. It's not a position that they're actually thinking, right, okay, I'm ready to have a child, you know, or the rest of it.
Yeah, I've got that in place.
So it means that the sort of I don't mean in these terms, but the sort of reasonable people that you would think, yes, they should be parents, aren't having the kids.
Yeah.
But then the folk who have no fucking idea of anything that's going on in the world and are, you know,
drinking and shagging and falling into
just being mindless sheep are the ones that are having the children.
Mm.
And then they're all complaining about each other having children because they're having to pay for each other.
Yeah.
You know what
Very
I mean?
Much more,
Perpetual cycle and a cycle of idiocracy there.
Is that
the
I know I don't have a microphone.
Oh, well.
You might jump in his or just...
You may as well just not put anything in, man. Yeah, just interrupt. I know, you tried to say something. By the way, we've got Martin in the studio as well. He doesn't have a microphone. So I heard you starting earlier and I had to cut in because I was like, there's no point, nobody will hear you.
Can we not switch the microphone round?
No, that's fine. I'll listen.
Yeah.
It's not like the opposite of Darwin's survival of the fittest in terms of the dumbest.
So Martin's saying the opposite of Darwin's survival of the fittest, which, yeah, I suppose it is. It's no longer relevant because it's more like survival of the shittest.
But at the same time, you can see that's, like, they need lots of those people to work the machines.
Definitely, man.
Sandwich spreaders.
Ultimately, we do need someone that's going to empty the bins. Like, you know what I mean?
Back to that point where everybody's worried about their job getting automised, is that not a good system? Is it that the mundane tasks that people have evolved to the point that they've become better in their jobs, we should be putting them to robots and allowing human ambition and strive to go to
There's people out there that actually fight for their jobs as well, people that work in factories and stuff like that, and I understand they're fighting for it at that time, but they can be easily replaced. And I would be happy to be fucking replaced in that one.
Who was it that said that the main goal for unemployment should be 100%? Who was it that said that?
What was this?
Was it Doug Stanhope that said that the goal for unemployment should be 100%?
Everybody
should be unemployed so that they could do their own shit.
Heller, he increased employment to 100%.
No, that's employment 100%. He's talking
unemployment. Everybody should be unemployed. To the point where they could do what they want, they could study art or they could be educated and shit. They could be anything you want.
Would people think they've got all this spare time, let's just go and get fucked, let's just go and get this.
Some folk will sit in their pants eating Cocoa Pops.
That's fine.
But some won't. Some will have time where they're no working 9 to 5 and they'll do shit with their life.
And they'll be us sitting
they'll
here.
Be us.
You need to take the view of the difference between the importance of having a job and the importance of work. Like, work is important. Having a job isn't.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, this is... That is something the job centre don't get. You don't get that I am not opposed to work in the slightest.
Oh, right.
Not any of what they
it's
were
a common
to
misconception that if you're no one to do mundane work that you just work shy.
You just lay there.
It's horrible. As a thing I hear all the time for people.
I'll manually graft for something that I believe in or that I want to do or whatever. I would rather do backbreaking manual labour all the time than for something that was worthwhile than work 16 hours in a call centre. You know.
Well, it's funny that Steve, you were saying that that people fight for these monotonous jobs, but they're not fighting for the job really, they're fighting for the livelihood.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
They're fighting for the wage, mate.
They're fighting for the food on their table. That's the kind of world we live in, you know.
And that's bad. That's a bad thing. You shouldn't need to fight for mundane jobs so that you can put food on your table.
No, exactly.
That shouldn't be how the world
works. Should be 100% unemployment, everybody leisure all the time, robots everywhere. That sounds fucking awesome. Where's my jetpack?
They already covered this on the Zeitgeist films. On the Venus Project and stuff, and we're talking about that.
Aye.
We're talking about they work on entirely on technology and get as much stuff as they can to take away the mundane shit that people didn't want to do. Try and cover as much of that as they can. Aye. And then they were talking about the need for people to do sort of creative stuff. People, and they would try and get rid of currency and work on a basis that people would just share everything that was there. All the different resources would be shared between everybody. Mm-hmm. And then they would try and... Where was I going with this? Aye, basically, they'd be trying to... totally lost my train of thought.
In an ideal world.
I think one of the problems with that is that you need to have a mentality of actually being willing to share in the first place.
Aye.
Because it's one something that somebody was telling me the other day that sort of in areas of X... Soviet Union countries and stuff, they've still very much got this mentality of not what I've got's mine. Mm-hmm. Because when it was a case of everybody would be given exactly the same amount of something, say somebody, I don't know if it was tobacco and stuff, but say somebody smoked all their fags, mm-hmm. and then went trying to tap a fag off somebody else, they'd be like, no, these are my fags, you shouldn't have smoked all your fags. Yeah. And that was it. So that as soon as somebody actually needed help in some kind of way, they were just like, why the fuck should I help you? You got the same as me. And that's
to an extent.
But then it's worth considering what actually drives people to be irresponsible. It's kind of in the sense of blame the dealers, not the junkies. You know that. You know that nobody wants to get into these situations where they aren't being responsible.
Mm.
It's very empowering to feel that you are actually responsible over your life, but. Everybody's lived a different life and there's a different influences upon what's developed their character and whatnot. Whether it be sort of the looking at sort of Freud's sort of stages of development and the conflict you would have to go through and all the rest of it and sort of the resolves within your own mind, that it could just be that somebody was shouted at too much when they were a bairn, or they shit themselves once and were shouted at and suddenly that's had an
insecure, a lasting
psychological conflict that hasn't been resolved. Mm-hmm. Fuck knows. You know, it's all these different things are arguable for different reasons or whatever. But like that's that, and I forgot what the point was. I just filled in because you forgot.
Somebody else
needs to pick this shit up.
Yeah, I'm in a new topic. I think we've dried this up. Maybe
we could talk about, since we kind of begun talking about the referendum, if we talk about the riots and shit that were happening yesterday, I want to kind of cover that. What the fuck's going on? People win, and then they decide to fucking fight about it. Yeah.
It's the BBC though.
And that's madness, man.
But there's videos totally disproving that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you just take a fucking second to look at the evidence, it's not true. But did they care?
No.
Did they give a shit?
They're
just like, oh, BBC,
I stuck on the news yesterday and they described it as that there was a party happening in George Square. I can't remember what channel, but they described the party was happening in George Square. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? I watched the live stream.
Aye. You were able to go back on the live stream, right? And I went back to the live stream to see when, because it was the SNP, when I get called a nationalist now. It was the S voters that were in George Square. There was a guy singing his song and his guitar. Mm. There was a bunch of lassies singing with their fucking Scottish flags and all this niceness. And then you see, you know, the British unionists are at the back of George, are at the side of George Square. It's only with their thing he's doing, their Nazi salutes and all this fucking rubbish. And then at one point they just ran towards the side of our road, and then for some reason came backwards and started chasing all the yes voters away. And then there was a lassie filming, and then they sort of just chased her, and then she ran away and she was screaming, and they just kept running after her, folk getting punched and stuff. Like, how could you see that and go, oh, the nationalists were there trying to cause trouble? Yeah. They're fucking singing here in a jam.
It's madness. And whatever side of the vote, like, anybody was on, like, I can understand people voting yes because they wanted, like, sort of to, an idealistic kind of viewpoint on how things were going to go. I can understand people voting no because they didn't want to change anything. I can understand people voting no because they didn't want to change their own life. I can understand why people would do these things, whether or not I agree with it. I just completely I'll accept that. You know, because different strokes are different folks. But what, like, I would be completely, like, opposed to is the folk who've taken it to be, like, pushing right-wing agendas and stuff like that. I put a thing up on Facebook the other day. There was somebody, I'm not going to name anybody, but there was a couple of people who I'd seen a few months ago who had put up stuff saying, like, it was like pictures saying, this is our flag, if you don't like it, then leave. And with a Union Jack, who, like, so... And this was off the back of stuff about immigration, or I think it might have been something to do with, like, Muslim extremists or something like that. And so they put out this, and I'm like, right, nah. And then coming into the referendum, they've got fucking yes badges and, like, pictures of salt tires and thing. I'm like, right, wait a minute now. Like, a while ago, it was, if you don't like this, then fucking leave.
Now you
want to
leave.
Yeah, now you want to leave. Like, what the fuck
but
is wrong
with
you?
But that may be a good thing. That might, they might well have changed their mind. Doubt it. But there's a chance that it could have just been propaganda.
Do you think they
did? Their mind,
do you think
and
they have
then...
changed their minds?
Oh, I don't fucking know. I don't think they knew in the first place. I think they just shared a picture because somebody put it out.
It's just propaganda. It's just marketing gets in their head. Yeah.
G10 Summit, they actually had a guy paid, essentially, that went in and started causing riots in a peaceful... demonstration started going, causing a lot of shit, then the whole thing gets a bad reputation because one guy that probably has no even fighting for the cause but been paid by the other side to come in and start shite. Economic hitmen of the world, essentially, but these are political hitmen that come to get bad reputations.
Totally. So my thing, just seeing people with their Nazi salutes and shit like that is just so fucking...
I didn't even understand.
Like, Hitler hated us. There's no point in fucking...
Well, Hitler would have killed him.
It's a total false idol. It's a really horrible one.
Did Hitler actually hate the UK, or is it just because we tried to stop him?
Probably, I think it's probably just because we tried to stop him. At the same time, it's just...
Unless you were a Jew in the UK.
He loved Ireland, though. If he's not watched into how Ireland pretty much helped the Nazi party... essentially, after the war, a lot of the priests and things were given refuge to convicted war criminals or high officers, or even just normal foot soldier people just doing what they're told. They allowed them to use Ireland as a docking station. The Pope gave several benefits. Vatican City got made during the reign of Mussolini. Vatican City got acknowledged as a city during the reign of Mussolini. Maybe about a decade before the World War started, but yeah, certainly look into that. There's a lot of the Catholic side supporting.
We were in Auschwitz. It was a long time ago now, and they were talking about the Pope actually visiting some of the gas chambers and stuff. So fucking, I can't remember the story.
There was a lot of priests coming out saying, "No, the." It never happened. The Holocaust never happened, and things getting pinned to the wall. But then I can't remember what was going on that either. there's a lot of minefield in that one too. But everybody acting in their own best interest, personal agendas, and anybody that says that they're trying to sound purely for the betterment of mankind, I think is absolute bullshit. Because although these ideas of the Venus Project and everything seem like a utopian idea,
they sound amazing, but it's really, really hard to implement.
You
have to change people's minds on different things,
which is so fucking difficult.
But then there's always going to be somebody that thinks about a better idea.
It makes me think it's the bit in think it's in 1984 where they're chatting about like the party wants to rule just for the sake of power, and like every other dictatorship in the past has claimed that there would be some kind of socialist utopia at the other end or whatever, but first they would have to go through all this, or like, nah, we're not even going to bother lying, we want power for the sake of power. and it's pretty much what it is, you know.
But essentially, that's the whole point in what capitalism is. It allows for the individual to succeed and strive forward, and it allows him to say, I want to go and educate myself, or I want to go and start up a company, or I want to go and try and do this, because I want a nice house, I want a big car, I want to be able to support my family. And it's one of the benefits that allows for self-development or self-fulfillment kind of thing of capitalism. The problem is, when 0.1% of the population have over 99% of the currency, or give or take a few percentage, it's a very sad state of affairs that really does need to be addressed and changed.
Yeah. Right, it's fine if somebody, like, if somebody legitimately makes it with their own graft, then sweet, but everybody should probably have to start from rock bottom then. You know, like, it's not like, what about the folk that, like you're saying, like, the people that have just inherited this wealth, or they've inherited this power, and they don't necessarily deserve it, you know. They then push on, and they can use wealth that they've inherited to push on and take from other people who are trying to work hard, who are trying to, you know, do their part and all the rest of it. Yeah.
That's it.
Madness.
Total madness.
So what, did anybody see the this live stream? Was it Russia
That's
Today to put that thing up? Was it Russia Today?
I've seen an RT logo.
It's a
wee
green RT logo on it.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't a Russia Today YouTube channel, it was someone else.
I think it was like maybe somebody stole the stream for like RT, the channel.
They just streamed
and
on just their channel. Well, I've seen Mr. I didn't watch it all because it was boring most of the time, but...
There was a lot of just watching people standing
still.
There
was just a lot of watching people standing still, essentially.
It was just...
And then later on at night, they moved there a wee bit, and then the camera moved, and you couldn't see for trees. And then I went off service for a wee while, and I just got bored, and fuck it.
It was just horrible, man. There's loads of videos floating about people getting kicked in the face and shit like that. Like, it's
old
fucking...
women getting spat on.
Did someone go kick a bear or something like that?
It's mental. No, for kicking babies.
I heard somebody got stabbed as well.
That's true. What are they writing about? Are they writing about the decision, or who's writing?
I think there was a theory that they were writing in Glasgow because Glasgow was a guest city.
All right, okay.
Yeah. But I didn't care how legit that is. It was just.
But they won.
I don't understand.
Like, imagine if Yes had won. They would have been fucking
pissed. This is what got me thinking as well. Everybody was talking about like all the kind of UVF New Day supporters were all there trying to cause shit, and I was trying to get a point across that obviously that's only happened because Yes supporters have turned up. There's dickheads.
It was a Yes. The whole thing,
and this
was,
is where you crumbled me.
The whole thing was a Yes thing to get a revote, to get a recount of the votes, because it was meant to be a thing that was rigged.
Right.
And then the unionists said, well, we'll do a counter rally an hour beforehand.
Right.
And so the Yes were there doing the re-protest. It wasn't a big turnout, but for some reason all these no voters that hadn't been shown just came at the fucking woodwork.
Because I heard the Nationalists were there first. I didn't realise that they were going first specifically because the Yes people were going
there. They planned their rally at 6, and the Yes rally was meant to be at 7.
Jesus Christ.
But obviously there was folk there all day because of George Square.
So they're basically just going for a fight. Just to
they were pretty much went for a fight.
Right, so
you pretty much look at it that way. Like,
mad,
a lot of the sort of mosque invasions and stuff of Britain First and that, it's just the gay EDL members alcohol and go, you want to go for a fight? Yeah, sure.
But could you imagine if a Muslim went into one of their churches and started saying, oh, that's offensive to my religion, and started taking shit down? They'd be fucking pissed off.
Yeah,
but yes, for some reason it's fine. They just go into a mosque and go, like, fuck you.
You seen any of these videos of the British Defence League and stuff like that? You seen any of them?
They look like fucking
they go in and they kind of mispronounce different stuff. There was a guy talking about, why do you talk Islam in our country? things like that. Why do you talk Islam? Really horrible stuff, man.
Brilliant.
They're just actual fucking apes, man.
Well, there was a picture, I think it was an American person, he was at a protest, and he said, if you come to this country, learn our language, the ARE.
It's fucking ridiculous, man. Martin's just taking a kip.
I've got a brilliant view of his crotch now. Good.
That's good. Is anything anybody wants to bring up about these riots or anything like that, or do you think we've...
Pricks, man. No, all pricks.
There's actually not much to say about it, like, just when I found out there that the guys turned up specifically early,
like, I'm just guessing so they could fucking... There was probably a bunch there that just went for a counter-rally because they didn't think it was rigged. But...
See,
looking at
it,
the majority did go for a fight, let's be honest. The majority turned up, the majority rioted. There was probably a minority, at that point, that whole group was a minority of no voters, but the majority of the people that voted up were there for a fight. I think it's plain to see, when you see the videos.
The thing I feel about all this is, like, I love the fact that we can sit and, like, the democracy is working because everybody's able to say their own view on this, and that's great that people can rally about it and they've counter rallies and stuff, because that's what it's for. They can voice their opinion, and the fact that we're all sitting in this room right now with microphones and we're probably going to broadcast, we're going to broadcast this, it means that it works because we're able to voice our opinion. These are all our opinions, we're maybe not right, whatever, but then it just really disappoints me that it has to turn to violence. Like, can it not just be words and like opinions, and then people can respect each other's opinions and go, wow, well, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong, who cares? I mean, like, maybe we can come together and come up with, like, a sort of middle ground and compromise.
Even if the difference of opinions gets a wee bit heated and you start shouting a wee bit louder than you normally would, as long as it doesn't go to the point where you're attacking people and setting fucking shops on fire. They set the Sunday Herald office on fire because the Sunday Herald...
There's been claims, I saw a thing about that. I'm not sure whether it was actually they set it on fire or it was just a coincidence with an electrical fire at a pub. There have been claims from a local pub that it was an electrical fire with them.
No, right.
It was just an unfortunate coincidence.
That's very unfortunate shit.
Whether or not it is, I don't know. Like,
but it just seemed weird that
the
Sunday Herald is one of the few, very few media...
They weren't as biased.
Actually supported independence at one point. I reckon if they actually did, or whether they just wanted to buy it.
It's just like one article they wrote.
But they're the one that's actually been known as being... for independence.
Was this, and did Alex Salmond, was the Sunday Herald though one of the only media people that he actually invited, the Sunday Herald?
I can't refuse the Daily Mail and stuff.
It's fucking
good. Fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them.
Daily Mail.
Totally,
that's it. I'd be bad if I'd ban the Daily Mail as well.
There's been a lot of sort of contradictions in what folk have said have happened, like, and the thing you were saying about the stabbing and that apparently happened in that as well. I'm sure I saw people online saying that a friend of a friend was the one that was stabbed in that, but the police are claiming that no, there's been no... maybe it's not been reported, but they were saying there's been no reports.
I did see somebody saying that it was his pal's girlfriend's pal or something.
It might have just been like they've just been stabbed and run a war or something like that.
When you hear stabbed, you automatically think, oh,
serious.
It's a big, huge thing. But a stab could just be a nick. It could just be slightly in a wee bit, and then they can where it was. It could have been in the horn. It could have been. We just assume it was in here, and he's fucked.
The guy's got a big hole in his chest.
Just been in his arm or his leg or something. No, it could have been anywhere.
But regardless if it's a decapitation or a wee scuff on the
hand,
violence or a knife fight or anything like that is your means to bypass conversation or debate to get to your result, then you're taking a bad road, Dick,
it's weird that people think that's acceptable. The words that you said and that combination just really boil my blood to the point where I want to kill you. Like, what? Fucking hell.
There was a wee group of yes voters who were out, and they were walking down a street in Glasgow. I'm assuming it was Glasgow. And there was a car with four Union Jacks on it. And then they shouted at the yes voters, and then the yes voters obviously shouted back because what else do you do? And then there was a bunch of unionists came down, and one stupid lassie, I'm assuming she's stupid, she looks stupid. She said, she had this union jack crap there, and she said, you could shove your independence up your arse. And when I hear that, I think, you didn't know what independence means. You could shove your freedom up your arse, is what you've just said there. Are you even thinking about that? But then these two total stereotypical orange-order cunts, like big fucking bald pricks, came down and started shouting about how they're dicks, and then the last guy came up with his big blue polo shirt on, saying, you're fucking poofter, Like that changes anything.
They're getting a lot of abuse for being foreign origin as well for them as well. Mm. You should not be in this country. This is not your country.
I think you've seen the video.
I did indeed. I've seen everything.
Like, why did they go straight to homophobia at the end?
It's a horrible point. A lot of these guys that are fucking like part of the Orange Order and stuff, it's all passed in their families and stuff.
Aye.
And a lot of them, fucking, I will tell this story. There was I know some people, I've DJed at an Orange Order gig. Fucking hate me if you like for that. And it was probably one of the weirdest fucking experiences I've ever had. Just loads of bald racists in one building. Six buses full of the fuckers, man. And I went to one of my pals, I think it's a stepdad or something, we went to his house for a drink one night. And I was talking to him about it because I totally fucking had no idea what it's all about. I had no interest in it. So I thought, I'll ask him. And he didn't really care much about himself.
Right.
And I was like, are you religious? And he's like, no, I can't be arsed with that shite. I was like, is that not the whole reason?
It's meant to be the backbone of the whole thing.
The whole backbone of that fucking whole organisation is seemingly supposed to be about religion. He's not even fucking religious.
There's
a lot of the people, aren't they? They're just fucking feed it through
like,
the family.
When I was at high school, right, I'm going to feel stupid saying this. When I was at high school, when the Orange March used to come about, my group of pals used to go, oh, yes, all these cunts. Obviously, no, I'm thinking.
Because it looks good when you're me, you good. See a mark,
you're in a thing. You've got a thing, you've got a wee group of you there. You've got all your stupid beliefs there, and then you've got this big, huge march that looks official when it looks like they came with their Dane. And then when
it's
you
music.
Look, when you when they've got
what's
nice
it,
music,
it was
the
a parade.
They
can, it's a wee parade.
The kids that play their wee musical instruments, they're all cute and well dressed and it's all nice and pretty.
Suddenly in the orange fucking match, cute.
It's supposed to be like a big orange.
You walk up like jiggle their cheek, like grab them and go, "Oh, you cuties, you."
You know what I mean? And then when you look back, you're like, "God, I was so fucking thick. What was I doing?"
But you were just
a beard,
you didn't
have any idea. I wasn't in it, but just my group of pals happened to be, they weren't really in it. But
you were just beardens.
We were just beardens like, that associated ourselves with that sort of stuff, and it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's how they sort of continue, because they get children involved without understanding what they're actually doing.
I had no idea what it was, I just was like, oh, Protestant, my family's Protestant, so it's fine.
I need to get this out, there was my cousin came up and told us, fucking, this was on the day of the votes and stuff. My cousin Dan Kilton told me there was two wee guys running about with a banner, like the proper like banner stand thing, a big yes banner. They're running about with it, fucking they're getting all like no badges on and stuff. And my cousin Dan went up to him and says, "What the fuck have you got that for? Like you're not old enough to vote." And the guys are like, "Oh no, we nicked it for the polling station." I was like, "Fucking hell! Welcome to Fife. It's beautiful."
They had a yes banner and no badges.
No badges, I know. Jesus Christ.
Well, at least the banner was for yes. At least it didn't have no banner.
That
sort of shows some support.
Depends what they did with it.
Maybe.
If they went flying in a ditch, then cool. If they hung it out their window, then...
Aye. Quick point that's no relevant to fucking anything. Burning flags, what's with the upset? It's a bit material.
What's with the... What's with them burning soul tires and that? Like,
I didn't understand. It's stupid. I can't understand their ideals are being totally fucked by that. But folk are really upset and offended by that. Like, really passionately angry because somebody burnt some material.
I can't
what it's meant to represent.
Because
people matter.
People get a large part of their identity through their nationality.
It's the same as we were talking about beliefs earlier on. Like, people believe that that's their flag and stuff like that.
But when you think about it literally...
To me, it's fucking material.
When you think about it literally, it's just a bit of material that somebody's burnt. They've just wasted some lighter fluid or something. They've just wasted some of their lighter or a match.
Some people see that as their very identity themselves.
There's loads of flags
going up in flames. Their ideals, their beliefs, the country they live in, the hills, the grass, the air that they breathe. That's encapsulated in that picture.
Come on, Sunday, Scotland!
There's a warehouse through the fucking flags.
If you consider, like, just take, like, the boxes you would tick on the census or something. Like, right, I am a 25-year-old white Scottish male father figure, like yada yada yada, all these things, and people take that to identify, like to define who they are. Like it was the other day, at work, and I'm talking to one of the cleaners outside about it, and I'm telling her like it was after the vote had come in, and I was in a daze all day, like just being and not shouting at children, "Your parents have sold your future out so they can keep their mortgage." And I mentioned this, the two of the cleaners, that were fairly, like, they were, normally they were fairly down to earth, and they were reasonable, you know. And then, like, they were, no, we both voted no. And then we're going on, and I'm going on, and she's like, oh, no, I'm proud of, like, I'm proud to be Scottish and white. And I'm like, how can you be proud of two things that you had absolutely no say in? It's not an achievement. She's like, yeah, but I'm proud of the achievements of my ancestors and all the rest. I'm like, yep, things that you didn't do.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, it's like, I'm not proud to be Scottish.
No, it's there's ridiculous. Not, like, I've never understood people.
Had the yes vote gone through and we'd actually built this, like, socialist utopia or whatever, then yes, I would have been proud to be Scottish because I was a part of creating that.
Proud of the people who live in this bit of land of what they've done.
Yeah, I'd be proud of them, and I'd be proud of what part I had in that.
Yeah,
and that would be great. Yeah. That would give me a reason to go, yeah, I'm actually proud to have been part of that. I would define myself in that. Not because I want to define myself by a biological coincidence. You know, like, I'm proud to be white. I'm like, what? What's it? She's like, I'm just comfortable with myself. I'm like, there's a difference between being okay with being you and being proud of something. I'm like, great, so, well, what are you, by saying that you're proud of being white, that means that you're essentially condone every single thing that the, like, Caucasian race has ever done. You know, that's insanity. Like,
I'd love to know if she'd be equally proud of being black.
Well, that, basically, that's what you're saying. Shade. If you're saying you're proud to be white, you're basically saying that you're a wee bit better than other colours.
There's a different, like, it's a linguistics issue, though. And saying I'm not ashamed to be white. Yeah, no. Completely. I'm not ashamed to be white. I'm in my own skin. You know, that's how I was born. That's what I'm going to have to deal with.
You look like.
You know. And it should be the same for anybody else. Like, to say, like, or for somebody to say, it would be people that say, I'm proud to be gay. I'm like, but wait a minute, you just said that being gay was a biological thing that you had no choice in. So why are you proud of it? Like, no, don't be ashamed of it, but don't be proud of it. It's not something that you chose. Like, if you say it's not something you chose, you can't be proud of it.
Exactly.
Unless you worked through a gay academy and got your gay degree. I'm proud. I made it. I want to thank my parents.
I want to thank
my classmates.
I went to Gay Scouts. I got all my Bender badges. Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
I like that. There's nothing wrong with it, you know what I mean?
Exactly, but so you can't be proud of it, exactly. It's not a choice.
That's an interesting thought.
I've lost my track, mate.
Yeah, Scuba, you've usually got like a total list of things.
I know.
But today, actually, I've been kind of sitting here thinking, when's Scuba going to take control of the show and actually move on to the next subject?
We honestly came with just the referendum in mind.
This is a referendum special.
That's a 5-year special.
It's a total referendum special.
Totally. It was my idea, anyway. What I wanted to actually talk about after this was the... I keep hearing people talking about wanting to start a revolution and stuff like that.
You should probably put the camera on at this point.
We'll do it with a what do people do next, but...
Is that what this is?
This is how we plan a revolution.
Right. How the fuck did we start a revolution? I think, first off, what was it you were saying the last time you needed
to... I'm fed up hearing people saying... a revolution should happen, but never actually putting forward any ideas. They're just saying, oh, a revolution should happen, but he should start it. Somebody else should start a revolution. I'm not going to start it. I'm just want to sit here and I want to join one. I didn't want to start one.
I kind of want to watch it on the telly.
I want to comment on that on Facebook.
I want to watch it on the BBC. He should start a revolution.
You start a revolution, you film it, I'll be at the house for beers.
The problem with announcing any kind of plan on that kind of thing is as soon as you announce it, you've given notice that that's what you're doing.
If you're
about to leave town and you owe lots of people money, you don't go out and advertise, right, yeah, I'm about to go away, or everyone will appear at your door at once. It's kind of the same thing, that if you come out wanting to fucking overthrow the government and you put up on Facebook going to blow up the Houses of Parliament, lol, then
That's
not
enough, is
it?
Guy Fawkes is fucking...
But then, how do you plan something that big? Surely something that big would need a lot of people. So how do you plan
form the Illuminati. And then
to be fair, just by saying that, you probably already informed them. I mean, I'm sure these microphones send something to them.
Oh, this place is half the grid, man. We don't got a lucky here, man.
If you want to know how to stage a revolution, speak to some French Freemasons and you'll be alright.
The best one of my actual heroes of all time is a guy, a French Freemason, but he started off the Egyptian Rite Freemason. Really. He was Count Alessandro di Cagliostro. Definitely someone you should look up. Basically, it's a symbol that the Sophine event with the snake was derived from. This guy was absolutely brilliant. He lived a life travelling, essentially. He moved up and down the countries, and this was the day seances and the esoteric, and a man was actually able to make a living off of what he knew. And he's seen a lot of problems when his mother lodged in Paris, and he wanted to change that. Certain like women not being allowed to win the order. He started up this rite where women were as equally validated as a man, and they were able to both stand within certain office bearer capacities. This order was almost an extension to the original three regular steps within the lodge, and it was an additional four steps that came as entered Egyptian apprentice, Egyptian something, an Egyptian master. It's been a while since I've read the book, but absolutely brilliant story. Love his life. It went through a lot of turmoil and had the monarchy at the time, I can't remember what king it was of France at the time, held him up in a jail for the remainder of his life after a necklace scandal where he was invited to the house and he was accused of stealing this necklace, and he had a lot of issues with his wife and things. They absolutely adored the high heaven. It was the Robin Hood to Mary Magdalene kind of love story kind of thing, Romeo and Juliet, whatever you have, and she was called Sophia. Absolutely brilliant story. But if you ever try to look anything this up, it's all biased kind of thing. There was one book that was written by, it was a joint in between Philippa Fox, who's a brilliant writer in all matters of esoteric, and Robert something, I forget his name, but he's the curator at the Grand Lodge, the National Library there, and it's one of the most intellectual and actually, it's a book I like my reading, and it's one of the only books I've ever read, and it's actually brought a tear to my eye during the whole story, and it's definitely, it's called The Last Masonic, The Magic Masonic, The Last Masonic, something like that. I'm really sure I'm going to test a bit before I start.
Basically,
really
there's good some good story, but the details are like.
Like anything. Like the Yes campaign, like Alex Salmon, find information for yourself.
You fill in the blanks.
Brilliant.
Oh,
right, basically, the idea to plan a revolution. First, we obviously need to find out what our goal is. What would be our goal? My goal, personally, I don't know about anybody else. My goal would be to take control of life. Trying to overthrow the government as best we could.
See, I'm not so sure, right. A lot of people say...
That's my opinion, I think about anybody.
A lot of people would probably class me as an anarchist, which is wrong. I don't think anarchy works because countries need certain things. If you just let everybody do their own thing... I fully agree that it should be small sections that run their cell. It shouldn't be one person running the whole...
Government should get smaller.
Aye, government. Smaller governments as opposed to one huge government. But no government at all. Nibday to speak for us. Nibday to be in these big positions that you need in certain countries. I think it would work because there's no reason for it to work.
Well, this goes back to what Shaggy was talking about earlier when he had that analogy to do with the ship and the sea. And you're basically saying, like, oh, let's have a revolution, let's throw the captain overboard and then put somebody in their place. You're throwing over the government and then starting a new one, basically. No. And then you're not changing the ship. Like, you kind of need to, like...
Have a look at it. We might need a submarine instead of a freighter, I reckon. We might need an aircraft carrier, I reckon.
How do you get to that point, though? How do you...
Well, you need to steer the government to show...
But well, that doesn't mean anything. That's just that's just metaphorical.
A good sign out with that is that, like, when the three main parties came out, all saying that they would offer more powers in the case of the no vote and all the rest of it, and the fact that the three main parties and Nigel Farage and whatnot, they were all campaigning for no.
Yeah.
Like that, none of them could just step back and go, you know what, guys? Like this, maybe this system isn't quite working right. Maybe we do need to take the ship into dock and fix it before we send it back out again. And maybe you guys could actually take that time to, and we could maybe learn from what yous have done. you know, or maybe you'll fail and you'll have to come back and we will have to bail you out again.
But if we did go independent and it failed, would you quite happily go back into the union?
If it failed, because we failed and that was actually a better system and people, and it was genuinely for the betterment of the people, then yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's my answer to that as well.
You know, that's it. Like, at least giving Scotland the chance to be autonomous again. I think it depends. Like, the whole thing about revolution and whatnot, it comes into philosophical problems as well. As it being like, right, okay, well, what? Is it possible to control the external, you know, or should it just be the change you want to see in the world, like by becoming more independent in yourself and leading by example, you know, that just in that case, like, take the example of, just as a story, right, take the example of the story of Jesus. He wasn't going and like trying to topple Pontius Pilate and all the rest of it. He went around and he told people why he thought it was alright to be nice. You know, like, and in doing that and disconnecting from it, that was where, like, that started, whether or not that all happened or whatever, there was a fucking, like, a massive change because of apparently a guy who said be nice, who got nailed to a bit of wood, you know, and it wasn't because he was out, you know, just the story of that works very well. And does it involve actually putting in the graft and going out and doing it, or does it just say, nope, I'm fucking done with this, I'm away from it? You know, I think it's a point that people need to consider. Right. You know, if people can, it's kind of the Star Wars analogy that Yoda tried to control inner space and Darth Vader tried to control outer space, and that was the fundamental differences of the Force. You know, it comes down to which way do you want to do it? Which way do you want to do it?
Yeah.
You know. You can go and sit in the woods every day and not pay attention to it. Yeah, it's not bothering you anymore. They've got no control over you anymore.
That's what I was talking about earlier. It's like you can literally stop letting it control your life. Like, you just, it's a choice. It's like happiness is a choice. You can be happy. Just choose to be happy. Like, choose the happiness.
It's not an easy choice.
No, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's fucking like people should just like buck their ears up and choose to be happy.
No, totally.
But you should totally like train your mind to choose happiness. Just choose the way that makes you happy. Choose the thing that enriches your life.
That's it.
And you'll see it every day. Very small choices that you make sometimes are not in your best interest, and I don't understand why you would do that.
This seems a fair way to go. So how would you try and put that, how would you try and get that into people's minds?
Like, getting that on a personal scale is fine, but getting that on a mass scale.
It has to be a personal level. It has to be everybody doing it for themselves.
That's what I'm thinking. How would you get people to get to that idea?
Well,
we're all pretty open thinking people.
At this present moment in time, you could do that right now, but nobody is doing it. So how do you get to
how
the point
do you do it?
I think that comes down a lot as well to whether you look at the source of what happens is behaviourism or like in cognitive things. Because we look and we go, how could David Cameron do that?
Mm-hmm.
Again, you're a lot of people are not taking into consideration the cognitive function behind it. That again, if you going into like Freud and stuff like that, you've got the constant conflict of the id and the superego, right? And the pressures of the unconscious and all the rest of it. That people act in manners that they don't realise that they are, you know. And but at the end of the day, every single thing that you do can be bypassed by thought. You know, that you have the final say, and essentially you've got free will over that. But if you don't exercise that free will, then it'll be coming down to the unconscious desires of something else. You know, so people need to understand the way that their mind works. They need to understand the way that other people's minds work. And by coming to understand things the best that you can start to actually understand what you need before trying to consider what other people need. You know, and what you've been told you need quite probably isn't what you need.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Martin wants to ask a question.
What would you define as a revolution?
That was one of your questions as well. That was one of your questions.
That was
a revolution?
No.
This word just gets blotted.
Everybody says this is what we're trying to get at the beginning. Revolution usually, for a lot of people, especially people that I can, are usually like, oh, we have to take down the government.
The government.
That's what I was trying to get my point.
But then that's as far as they plan. And when you say after that, there's no government.
But then there's
what
a thing. Once you take down the government, this is the people that actually know what they're doing, although they didn't do it perfectly the way we would like them to do it.
That's arguable.
They're actually, well, why? Totally. But these guys...
They're in their position because they've studied.
Because they've studied, stuff. Exactly. If you take away the government, then you've nae sense of... I don't know.
The people that would run this revolution, or the people that always shout about revolution, or normally the people that would have no fucking idea how to run a country.
Do we need leaders, do you think?
Absolutely. Anything would have moved forward if it's somebody driving it.
Yeah.
I think maybe no... Leaders, yes, but I think it's more important to have people who actually can speak on things that other people can't speak on. Mm-hmm. I reckon if that would be considered
for a large society, we would certainly need leaders.
Definitely. Well, this is my thing. People talk about taking down governments and stuff, and they forget that you need some sort of people to help you along.
Well, not so much that. No. I mean, you need obviously there's millions of people in this country, right? Like millions, right? So obviously we've all got different opinions, and obviously all those opinions will never create one sole purpose, whatever, right? So you need to sort of break down in levels, where everybody has their say within voting for certain parties that represent certain things. So you just sort of decide which ones are more popular, but the parties need to be wider spread. I think the whole party thing, where it's like, vote for my views, which include loads of views that you didn't agree with. It should maybe be a council sort of thing, rather not the council. I'm not talking about Fife Council here, welcome over there fucking anyway. No, I mean a council of people, a group of people that all debate.
A Senate.
A Senate, a sort of group of people that decide things, and it's kind of like Iceland, right? Take Iceland for example. They had a big during the whole banking crisis and stuff, the credit crunch, as it were. they totally unhinged their government. They were no, we're not having you bail out the banks. You can bail out the people who are now in debt and stuff. And the bankers got put in jail in Iceland and stuff. The politicians got chucked out, and they created this council type thing. It was a totally new government. Totally overthrown it. And you didn't hear this about this in the news or anything, which is just fucking very curious. But Iceland's now got this sort of consortium of people that govern the land, and it's all it's governed by the people. The people have taken the power back, and it's very they were one of the first countries to recover fully from the banking crisis. Yeah. You know, it's like
that seems like a brilliant idea. What do you think about that?
I don't know why we'd deal with
Iceland. I've not seen anything to suggest that what happened in Iceland was a bad thing for them.
Mm-hmm. If we'd done that, we'd be in jail. Why were they not in jail? Because if we'd done what they'd done, we'd be fucked.
Because they've got such a small population, it was
You mean the bankers?
If we had done what the bankers done, we would have been in jail instantly. They got fucking loans.
Right, lad, here's a couple of million, just keep quiet
about it. And I think, the whole thing about Scotland trying to go independent, why now Dundee should try to go independent? Dundee should try to go independent.
The Republic of Dundee.
We said about a smaller government. Do you think it would work on that scale?
By having a small
city by city?
Well, you look at a lot of the stuff where you see Native American tribes and stuff, where they'll be talking about stuff. They'll be like, yeah, we didn't have any jails, we didn't have any laws, because there was no need to break them. Everything was shared, so there was no criminals. If somebody did something bad, I think it was maybe African tribe stuff and that, they were like, if somebody did something bad, we didn't punish them for it. We saw that they came into the world as a perfect being, and that by acting out and doing something that was harmful to someone else, they were harming themselves, and it was a cry for attention. Mm-hmm. So we would take them in, and everybody in the village would come round and remind them of all the good things they'd done in their life. And doing that, they would say that they wouldn't do it anymore.
That restores your faith in humanity.
Whether or not this is the case, I don't know, because I've not been there. But if you think, if you're in a small community of maybe up to 300 people, right, then where would the competition and the animosity be? Between 300 people, you could certainly have enough to share between folk. Mm-hmm. You would be able to build up a collective code of ethics that people would actually agree with, because they're all working with each other within it. Mm-hmm. And then your leaders would just be the elders that have lived through things and have seen things, and folk have grown up being educated enough and actually been able to see things for how they are, and that's what's encouraged on such a small level, and debates between folk is encouraged and mediated by the elders that have seen over things. Then Yeah, there's a very good chance that would work.
So like a micromanage.
So then there's no God-given right that somebody's a leader, except for that they've lived longer and have seen more and know more.
Mm-hmm. You know? Experienced.
Yeah, they've got it's through experience. And then as the younger ones come up and see the mistakes of, if there are mistakes of the elders, they can rectify that. Uh-huh. And then by the time that they're older, then that's that. And you remove the fear of death, and then suddenly... You've not got old people just wanting their own shit anymore because they're not afraid that they're going to die.
Yeah.
Mm. I think fear of death is a big part of it. Like, remove the fear of death and it's great. You look at the way that a lot of cultures like will deal with it. That fear of death, nah, it's not there. You're going to get a good priest and he makes death sound fucking horrible. Even though they're apparently going to go into paradise or whatever, they'll make the whole process of death horrible for everyone else.
Yeah.
Well, if you believe that you're going to go to paradise when you die, then surely that should be fine.
It's a strange thing to be absolutely terrified of the penultimate.
The
moment
inevitable.
It's not the ultimate moment. It's the penultimate moment. Like you die and then. Like, who's to say what happens next? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying there is. But the thing is, it's like, you're racing towards that every day of your life, and that's just, that is just a part of life. How come we kind of grasp that? It is the essence.
It does make you consider that if we lived in a culture that was more accepting of death, then how would the independence vote gone? Because people wouldn't have the same amount of fear. They wouldn't have the, because it's the fear of the unknown. And what's the ultimate unknown? Death.
Yeah.
So ultimately, it all comes down to fear of death. So if you strip away the fear of death, then, well, I mean, fair enough. You'll get some people that will then use that having no fear of death to be like, no, I'm going to go out and fight and drink and take drugs all the time.
Mark, really, you've not got a microphone there.
I've got a percentage.
23%
of all people who
is
either over 75 or 65.
Voted yes.
Yeah,
we followed that earlier on.
We've been over this.
Sorry, I know. This bit will get cut or whatever. But I know you're like sitting there like, I want to talk, but there's no microphones. So you might as well just stay quiet and listen.
No,
like that.
I'm sorry, man. I really am.
It was over 65. There's a vote. No way.
Yeah.
And it was all fucks.
Was it not the other way around that Martin just said? I wasn't paying attention.
No, that's what we were saying. Over 65s to 75s or whatever, but they voted no, like, a lot of the time.
Right, okay. I was just trying to repeat the words so that people could hear it, and I didn't actually take in what was said.
So let's take that fear of death thing, right? Right. How do we try and get that into people, that they shouldn't be scared to death?
Well, it's inevitable. In the first place, but
I mean, we know that, but there is a lot of people that are fucking still scared.
I think a lot of them aren't so much scared of death, as scared of how they're going to die. Because
people are scared of pain, and it's because like you didn't understand that your body's only people didn't come what they are. Like I didn't really ken what I am. Am I this body, or am I something that's inside this body? You know what I mean? Like that's what you don't know, and your body's telling you that your body's getting like. Affected in some way that's negative, so you feel pain because it's saying like, yeah, if you keep doing that, that arm's going to stop working.
Just on the pain analogy, right? It's on birth, the majority, a lot claim that children are within a sort of oceanic kind of state in which, again, if you go back to Freudian psychology, he believed that you were born only with the id, like the part of the brain that's concerned with just seeking out pleasure and avoiding displeasure, okay? So a child's born only with the id. Now, when a child's in the womb, they are essentially one with the mother. So they're in a state where they have no sense of self. They have no idea that they are separate from their mum or separate from their surroundings. So when they're born, they have no sense of self yet. They have no idea that they are separate from their surroundings. And it's only through pain that they start to realise, wait a minute, I am not, you know, they shut the door and they don't feel anything. They pinch themselves, they hurt. So they start to realise, I am not the door, you know. And it ties in nicely with Eastern philosophy, saying we come for oneness, go back to oneness, all the rest of it. And the whole idea that the brain's flooded with DMT on birth and all the rest of it to help cope with it. And then it's through through cause and effect. That they've got no sense of cause and effect either. So they start to realise that consequences can be... They can act upon things in order to change the way that things go. So they realise that if they... Like, the id will be seeking instant gratification, so the first thing they're doing is they want to feed. Instantly, a child's got the instinct to feed for the mother's breast and whatnot. And so by realising that if they cry... Like, that they're... they won't be able to get pleasure instantly. They realise that they have to do something about it and that they're not completely in control of it. But if they cry, then that will cause things... they'll get their pleasure quicker. So they've got no... they've only got the id at this point. They've not got the superego, which is the moralising role. They only get the, start to develop the moralising role as they start to see cause and effect... affecting other people as well as themselves, and they start to rationalise over things. And then basically the ego is formed as a sense of self and the balancing factor between the id and the superego, so that you're not completely driven by the id and going in and taking food off people's plate in a restaurant instead of waiting in the queue, and you're not sitting there worried to do anything in case you stand on a beetle, you know. And that when in states with psychedelic drugs and stuff where people talk about having ego death, it's you can go through a process of like almost complete ambivalence, that you can look on you could look on a horrible event or whatever and just not feel pleasure or pain out of it. It would just be completely balanced out and all the rest of it. So if you take this, that people are born in a sense that they probably go from a sense of oneness with their surroundings to going back to that again. And quite while I'm on it, the whole thing about the id and being born into the pleasure principle, I think that's where Christianity gets the "we're born in sin" thing from, because we're born completely just driven to go for pleasure. That's pretty much where it comes from.
That definitely makes sense. Like, fucking
that's like, it. And yeah. I think a lot of religious texts and that, a lot of it's allegory for psychology. That they couldn't actually observably prove by saying, "All right, well, this is what this part of the brain does," and yada yada yada. They just goes, "Nah, this is what it is," and they put it in stories because that's easiest to understand.
Yeah,
but yeah, so to remove the fear of death, you need to remove the sense of self. This sense of, all right, I am a 25-year-old white male, yada yada yada.
Yeah, it's like, are you in the body or are you the body? You know what I mean? Yeah, like, am I just the brain inside the body?
The sort of
body,
dichotomy of you punched me in my face.
Or did you punch me or my face? Or did that hand that you are that you're possessing touch the face that I'm in possession of? You know what I mean? It's hard to define what you are. Or am I accumulation of the oxygen that surrounds me touching me? That's touching you also. Are we maybe just all the one thing? Are we all the universe experiencing itself from 7 billion viewpoints? You know what I mean?
Pretty much.
What are we in essence? And then exactly. So you have to sort of dissolve that idea that you are an important structure of chemicals and molecules, and start to realise that you are just a structure of chemicals and molecules that is part of another structure of chemical molecules that are all touching each other. It's like the brain. The brain is just like billions of neurons that are constantly going off at the same time. When you come up with a decision, it's not one thing that decided that. Like, it's your brain just went like, it's basically like the yes and no vote. Like, your brain's going like yes, and some of your brain's going no, but the majority of them say no, and so then like your brain decides that, like shut up.
The focus you need.
No, but basically that's how your brain works. Like, you didn't decide it with one view. It's like you've actually got billions of like people, billions of voices, I suppose, or like neurons fighting against that. That the majority wins, and that's how you come up with a decision. It all happens like split settings. That's the way the brain works. So really, you are only one person deciding something. You're billions of fucking things deciding one thing. Yeah. And if you correlate that like with like the if you compare that with the brain to like how the world works in the sense of politics, then you've got like a very like. You know, it's like micro and macro, like everything happens in the microscope, in the universe.
Well,
it's crazy.
If you were to look at the bloodstream under a microphone, under a microscope, you would see a constant battle. going on in your own bloodstream. But then you look from far back and it's perfect harmony. It's just a flowing stream of blood. Mm. Probably exactly the same. But to be able to actually step back and realise, right, wait a minute, this role that I've assigned to myself is probably completely pointless. Yeah. It's probably just there to help us get through the fact that this is a biological coincidence that is of absolute significance to whatever's in a grander scheme, in the sense that all of it is completely pointless. Yeah. And that if we were to actually give away, if that game was to be given away, then people wouldn't keep playing it. You know, and so you take that away, and then everything, society would crumble. But the fear of death would be gone. Yeah. But then does that mean that people would just be fucking and fighting and, you know, all this kind of thing? Because
I don't think so. I think people become you would become in harmony with the sort of flow of life, because then you wouldn't be scared of the
being in harmony
result.
Is being in harmony with life being in constant conflict then?
Maybe. Yeah.
There you go. That's another thing that I was thinking about as you were talking. If you're no longer scared of death, you're then free to be able to fight near and shit as well.
But you still have to go through the emotions. Mm. You'll still be angered if you lose. Mm. You'll still be braggy if you win. You'll still be in pain. You'll still feel all these things.
I think those negative emotions are a byproduct of the fear of death. Like the reason you're fighting and stuff is because you're scared that you're going to die. The reason you're angry is because you believe that what you're standing up for will keep you alive, sort of thing. You know what I mean? So it's the fear of death in such a sense that like fear of dying, like it's kind of like fear of like feeling pain and then eventually like your life distinguishing. It's kind of different for the whole like I'm afraid that I might not be alive at one point. It's like like everybody should understand that life, this perception is not eternal. You know what I mean? Like that is basically the only way I could explain it.
If you look at it on the perspective you were saying of it being it's not a fear of death, it's a fear of dying in a horrible way.
Well, the fear of how knowing how you're going to die.
So most people say, "Oh no, I'm not afraid of death. I'm afraid of that." Right. So if I was to say to them, "Right, okay, I'm going to take you outside right now, give you an injection, you're going to die now. Come on." How many folk would actually do it?
But that's no fear. That's just the case of not wanting to die. That's a different thing.
But
then you'd be scared.
It would be like, the fear of the unknown.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, if I said to you, "Mon with me down this dark alley, I'm going to take you to, you know, somewhere," and it would be the fear of the unknown that would make you go, "No, I don't want to go down there."
Ah, exactly. Not the fear of the death, though. It wouldn't be the fear of
the death.
The
fear that when you go down there, you might die.
But it would be mere fear that you're not knowing how you're going to die, as opposed to the fear of actually the sensation of dying.
Yeah, but I think it's the fear of the whole thing being over. As well, that you think that unknown, it might, oh no, it might continue.
But would that be fear, or would that just be not wanting at the end?
But that's fear. It's still fear of the unknown, because how do you know that it ends?
Exactly, the unknown, that's what I'm saying.
That's it, so it's fear of
the unknown, not the fear of the death.
But fear of death is fear of the unknown. The unknown part is that you would cease to, a big part of it is that you would cease to exist. So if I was to say, "Yeah, I'm on it, we'll go and do this now." If you're not afraid of death, you go, "No, I'm not afraid of death." So then surely that would mean that you would be willing for it to happen.
To be fair, I think because we are humans, we're no way qualified to talk about this.
This is the thing, because we're humans, we didn't ken everything yet.
We can't figure this out. I literally think that we're ill-equipped to even consider these thoughts.
Dawkins said that we evolved in order to run away from lions in the Sahara, not to understand. It was quantum physics he was talking about, but in this case we're talking about deep philosophical...
So basically, when we're talking about revolution, we're talking about how we start a revolution. The revolution basically isn't about taking down government, it needs to start on...
Sorry, but my second coffee still hit me.
This is not a revolutionary physical and material thing in land. This is a revolution in the mind. It is very much a revolution of philosophical, chemical, biological impulses, and it's things that we need to overcome. So... We're not really off topic at all. We're totally, at a microscopic level, we basically open our minds. We're evolving to a point where we can have the capacity to deal with these things, because conceiving it and then manifesting it are on the pathway towards manifestation. Mm. So we can't just come up with the idea of wanting an amp or wanting a microphone designed if it never existed. Mm. We have to come up with an idea, right, I need something to record my voice. I know, I'll put this here and I'll put wire up all these bits and bobs and I'll make a mine.
I get where you're going here, Shaggy. That in order for revolution to happen, we need magic.
Magic is very real, though.
And
that's the thing.
That's true.
The Hollywood has changed magic and it's understanding of what most people see magic as, covens and witch cults. Mm-hmm. But magic is the ability for people to come together and create something out of nothing. Eh? And magic does exist, but it's just not all the bells and whistles that you'll see in a film. Eh?
I had a funny feeling you were going to burst into song there. Like a Disney tune.
Circle of life. That comes back to the whole, like, actually being consciously empowered enough to, like, for it to be the brain, for your conscious thought to be the last deciding factor on something, that the application of will is how to make some harm. That's on, like, on a base level, that's what the philosophy of, like, magic is it's the application of the will. If you think, I want a cup of coffee, then you will yourself to get up and go and get a cup of coffee. Okay, there won't be there's probably not a lot of unconscious factors fighting against you in that, so it's a fairly easy thing to do. If you decide, I want to learn Spanish, then it's your own will that will make you go and sit down and learn Spanish. Mm. If you cannot be fucked and you're sitting there going, no, actually, I can't be bored, that's because your own willpower is not overriding your unconscious desire saying, it won't be worth it, it'll be really hard, yada, yada, yada.
Mm.
Yeah. So that it's, and being strong enough in the mind to actually say, no, I'm going to apply my will to make change happen in the physical realm. And that's, I completely agree that that's what it is. It's like,
so that is any, a revolution,
basically. That is revolution. For the revolution mind to happen, it's for people to realise that's what they need to do. That it's as you're saying, the choice to be happy when you're sad.
Yeah.
That it is as simple as that. It's not easy. Like, it's not easy, but it's that simple. Or like quitting smoking is as simple as not putting a cigarette in your mouth and not lighting it. Although you've got all other factors.
Probably the
tobacco companies themselves telling you that it's difficult to quit
is a massive
factor in it.
Yeah, I mean, as much as there's loads of different factors, environment and chemicals involved and whatever, and like that boils down to a simple choice: do you want to be happy?
Yeah.
And then if the answer's yes, then you tick yes on the wee box. But you didn't!
That's a perfect way to end that one. Fucking well done.
Ha ha ha.